I didn't plan to come to a missionary meeting. I didn't know when it would be. I know it's the fall, but I just didn't know the dates. And we had planned for some time to go to the 50th anniversary at Emmaus. I tell people I'm going to the 50th anniversary, and they think that's my graduation time there. And I said, no, not quite. But it has been 42 years since we graduated from there. And I can remember those years. They were very special. The school was in Toronto then, and Spence Dibble was my roommate for 3 years there. Then the last year, we condescended to take Len Brooks in with us, only because he was a good cook. And we used to have our times each time, but he was an excellent cook, and we had some great days. And last night I was able to see Spence's picture. And since graduation night, 42 years ago, Spence and I, our paths have never crossed. So we've never been able to see each other. I think one time, if I can recall, we talked on the phone when he was home, and somebody put a call through to us. I don't remember all the details, but it was just nice to see his picture, and he's changed, and he probably would say the same about me. And we all change, don't we? Some of us, we get a little taller, or it seems we're taller, or some of us seem to grow shorter, and we get this way and every which way. And but, you know, it's just so nice to be able to see friends, and when I come to a place like this, everybody rushes up. And I last night I was very embarrassed because Don Ensminger and I were very close. In fact, he was in our wedding party, and he came up to me and said, "Don Sauer." And you know, I couldn't recognize him. He just changed a bit, and I need my wife to kind of say, "That's so-and-so," and then I'm fine. So please forgive me if I don't connect a name with it. Partly age, and I don't know what it's part something else, but I don't know what it is. Les this morning was very kind to say when he was speaking at Denali, "This is your home church, why don't you come up and say something?" And I declined, and he went on. And I almost feel the same way tonight. "You should come up here." He probably demands equal time, but I won't do that. But I do appreciate him stepping aside this evening that I could speak to you. This chapel has always been a very special chapel to me. I can remember many, many times being out here, even when I was a small boy. And the people were always very warm, always been interested in us. You've prayed for the work in Alaska, and we appreciate that. It's hard to believe that it's 42 years ago that we went up there to serve the Lord. The Lord's been gracious, loving. We felt after about 35 years up there, there was time for just a little thawing out, and we went to Hawaii. Because they asked us over there if we would come and minister for a while, and we've done that. And we just feel now that there's a need in Fairbanks again, and we may be going back there to spend more time. We're just waiting on the Lord. And so if you do hear our name back up in Alaska more, why, you'll know that we're up there with serving the Lord. Wherever we go, the place doesn't really matter. I think the important thing is that we share this person with those with whom we come in contact, our Lord Jesus Christ. We want to uplift him. We want to share that name. We want to let everyone know that he is truly the Savior of sinners. I'd like to turn you to just a couple of passages of Scripture this evening in Exodus. Way over the beginning of the Bible, Exodus chapter 3. I just want to say that I'm only just giving you now some of the thoughts that have come to my mind. I've been thinking about this passage the last few days. And last evening, there was a message presented here with the challenge to go into all the world and preach the gospel, and it was that phrase, "Lo, I am with you always." And keeping that in mind, look at these verses in Exodus chapter 3, if you will. 3 verse 5, "Do not come any closer," God said. "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground." Then he said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. Just go over just a few verses. And look at verse 14. God said to Moses, "I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you." God also said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name by which I am to be remembered from generation to generation." Those are strong words. Now let's look at another passage in John chapter 18, if you will. John 18 and verse 5. This is when they came to take our Lord Jesus, you'll recall. And he was being betrayed by his own disciple. And when they came, "Jesus of Nazareth," they replied, "I am he," Jesus said. And Judas the traitor was standing there with them. When Jesus said, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. They were afraid. Perhaps the most profound statement in the whole Word of God are the two little words, "I am." They are so profound and so powerful that Moses was fearful when he heard them. And those who came to take our Lord Jesus were fearful when they heard those same words fall from the lips of our Lord Jesus Christ. Would you bear with me tonight if I ask you to just open the window of your soul just a little bit and take a peek at the splendor of God as the Creator, as the Redeemer. And may we in this view of Him see something that moves our heart, that will go down into our feet, that will help us to walk and to live and to speak as God wants us to in the society in which we live, so that we might bear with us that experience, having the authority, "Lo, I am with you, even to the end of the earth." Now, I'm not a Greek scholar. I asked my nephew, Brian, the other night if he knew the exact wording of that, because this phrase hit me that day, and I thought, I wonder if there's any significance at all in the I am with you, whether there's any reference to the I ams of the scripture. And he couldn't really tell me. Maybe there's a scholar here who could come up on the side and tell me tonight, but I haven't had a chance to look at it. When I was staying with my stepmother up in Toronto there, I looked around for a book or books, and there weren't any on her shelves. My father-in-law, who had a tremendous library, Mr. Irwin, his books are all scattered. He's with the Lord now, and he didn't leave us any here. But I do have some of his books in my own library back home. But as we look at this and we examine these words, I want us to see his splendor. We've all had opportunities of seeing beautiful sights. I'm not a great one for taking pictures anymore. I used to take pictures of everything, and I never looked at them. So what good were they? We still have them of our different trips, whether it be Israel or Australia or what, but we never seem to look at them. So I don't even carry my camera, and I miss some of the nice things, but we do know what it is to look at something very spectacular. Niagara Falls is close by, and we've all seen that with the beauty of it. We never can just get to the place where we put it aside. We have to take a glimpse at the splendor of it all. There was a little boy who was traveling with his grandmother, and they were going through the lower states. And she wanted to impress him with all the beautiful sights, and she took him to Grand Canyon. And she thought, well, this will be wonderful. He'll talk about the beauties of the whole thing for a long time. So she had him write a little diary of everything that he saw during that day. And they went from place to place. This day she observed him as he was looking at Grand Canyon. And she was so excited to find out what he would write of the beauty of Grand Canyon. So that night he wrote in his little diary. And she waited for him to go to sleep. And when he was asleep, why, she went over to read these profound words. Today, I spit more than a mile. So sometimes we have different ways of looking at things, don't we? But the point, when we're looking at this beauty of our Lord Jesus Christ, I want to bring it and focus it, try to bring it into focus a little bit. When Moses was told to constantly remind the people, I'm the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, he was saying to them, never forget your fathers, but I want you to go beyond that. I want you to realize the God of these men. And he never changes. And I want you to know Moses. And in this chapter 3 that we were reading, he was standing upon holy ground and he said, now, take the shoes from off your feet. This is a holy place. And I want you to realize that I'm the God of these men and I'm a holy God. And I'm going to be your God just as I was the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And all through the scripture you will find, as you read through the Old Testament, the constant reminder of these words. They're repeated over and over and over. I remember having a count of them, and I don't have it in my memory now, but many, many, many times, the same phrase. What did he mean? He wanted them to see the beauty and the splendor of this God. And sometimes we read this book and we don't open that window far enough to behold the glory of God. And he wants to get our focus there. Because when we have a hold of the glory of God, His holiness, His majesty, His lordship, we then can take it with the authority, lo, I am with you always. And we can take that I am with us in every situation in life, whether it be to work, whether it be to school, whether it be to the neighbor, whether it be to the dental office, wherever we go, Jesus Christ is with us, the same yesterday, today, and forever. The I Am, the Creator. What did He mean when He said, I am the Word. I am the bread of life. I am the resurrection and the life. Oh, our Lord repeated these phrases to all these gathered around Him. And He was conveying a truth that is so important. And that's what I want us to get a hold of tonight. I don't know how we can apply this, I am the Word, except to say that when Jesus Christ came on the scene, He was the embodiment of everything that God was and is and ever shall be. And in the person of Jesus Christ, God exhausted His vocabulary. And when He said, I am the Word, He was saying everything that God has spoken, I am He. Everything that God was, I am He. I am. And that's why those men who came to take Him from the garden, they fell backwards when He said, I am. He was the Word. He was God speaking to them in power and majesty. He said at one time, I am the resurrection and the life. Oh, aren't those strong words? What did He mean when He said, I am the resurrection and the life? He meant that I have come, I've sent my Son so that He might give you life, not only eternal, but He might give it with a capital L for today. I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. I am the resurrection and the life. I am life. And that life is imparted through the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. And when He said to these men in the garden, I am, He was actually conveying to them that I have come to give you life eternal. Oh, the power of that statement. Because Jesus Christ was the possessor of the very attributes that His Father in heaven had. He possessed everything, the love, the grace, everything was in Christ. We read this, that He came, that God has spoken to us through His Son, as we read in Hebrews. Everything was conveyed into His hands. And our Lord Jesus Christ, when He came to die on that cross at Calvary, He said everything that God was from the beginning, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, I am, and I'm coming to give you that right now on the cross if you'll trust me. When we say to a person, come and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, and we think, my, that's wonderful, He then could go to heaven. Oh, far, far more. He possesses the opportunity of coming in fellowship with that Blessed One who is God Himself manifest in the flesh. He said, I am the bread of life. Now maybe that doesn't mean anything to you. But the bread of life, He's actually saying, I have come to feed you and give you sustenance. I've come to give you food whenever you need it. You never have to worry about having enough to eat. My stepmother, she knows how I like to eat, and boy, oh boy, does she give me this and give me that. She just spoils me rotten, and then I find when I come down the road, because I drained her jelly bean bar, she gives me a big bag of jelly beans. She said, you'll need them for your trip from Toronto to here. Well, she takes care of me that way. And she gives me all that I need. More, I don't need that. She gives me all I want. But we have a God who gives far beyond that. We have a God who gives us everything that we need. He said, my God shall supply your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? Do you experience on a daily basis God feeding you? This precious book we have is food for our soul. This book feeds our soul so on a daily basis we feel that we've been nourished. We can read this book and wherever we go, and we can experience just the fact that God is feeding us. Isn't that precious? Isn't he good? And that's why he wants us to feed upon the Word of God. It's bread for our soul. And it doesn't get stale. It's new every morning, just like the manna was. That's why we should avail ourselves of the Word of God to feed constantly upon it. And he was saying to these who came to take him away, I not only will save you, but I'll keep you. And you can feed upon me, and you can follow me, and I'll take care of you, and you won't have any needs. The Lord is my shepherd, what more could I ever want? Yes, the Lord is good, isn't he? I wonder if you've had a real look at him. Have you opened the window wide enough to have a look at his splendor and his love, his faithfulness, his glory, his majesty? Oh, there are many other IMs that we could turn to, and I'm missing some of them. Which ones have I missed?
Door.
Pardon?
I am the door.
I am the door. I am the door and the way. These both speak of the opening into the presence of God. We can go nowhere. They also speak to us of prayer, because that says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and will open the door, I will come into him and go in and out and find pasture. And that's the reference of the sheep. They come in to feed and they go out to serve. And that's the way God has given us this opportunity of prayer, to go into his presence, to prepare our hearts so that we can go out and serve him. The door is there. And he says, I'm the door, and you can't come anywhere close to the presence of God except through me. And by him we have an access to the Father. There is one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. And he's there in the gap to plead our cause so that we might prepare ourselves. Any others?
Light of the world.
I am the light of the world. Mm-hmm. Wonderful to have a light in a dark place, isn't it? And we think of these who came to travel in those countries during the early times, and they would come and they would look up on the hillside because the cities would be up on a hill, up in the tells, and they'd be up there and there'd be a light in the window, and they'd take their barley baskets and they would invert them and put a light on top of them. And that's why it says, don't hide your bushel under a basket. And they would hide them so that it would shine out, because they didn't have the Holiday Inns and the day stars and what else to stop at night. They had to go from friend to friend, and they would see that light shining as a beacon, and they would be able to go and have a nice lodging as they followed the light. Jesus said, I'm the light. I'll give you light. I'll lead you. By the way, the Word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Oh, isn't it good that he said to these men, I am. I'm everything you need. Now, I don't know tonight why you came here. If you came because, well, this is your custom to come on a Sunday night, well, I think that's great that you're so faithful in doing that. But maybe you came with a friend, maybe you wandered in, and you don't know this one that we're speaking about, our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know all of you. But if there's a need in your heart, and you need the Savior, and you've never had a glimpse of Him to trust Him, I invite you to come and take Him as your Savior and Lord tonight. I want to tell you that when He said, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that's the same thing He says to us today when He says, lo, I'm going to go with you. I am with you. And the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob is with us every moment of our day. And when we leave this room tonight, you can have absolute assurance that the same God who lived way back then is taking you by the hand as you walk out those doors. And that's a tremendous comfort. Do you have this comfort? Those of us who are Christians, those of us who know Jesus Christ, don't put it back on the back burner, but let's put it right up front so that we might claim that power and that authority. When a policeman stands in the road and says, or someone with the flags and says, stop, we stop. That person has authority. And we yield to authority. We don't do anything else. And we wait for the sign to turn so that we can go and move. Usually they have the sign slow after that. But when it says stop, it means that. That's authority. God has taken all His authority and given it to Jesus Christ. And that's why when He said, I am in the garden, they fell backwards. Because it was God dealing with them in a personal way. And Jesus Christ said, all power, all authority is given to me in heaven and in earth. And I'm going to send you forth, disciples. And when you go, I want you to teach all nations. I want you to baptize them. I want you to tell them about me. And with that authority, I'm going to go with you. And you can claim it on a daily basis. And never forget, I'll be with you every day of your life. And that's what we can leave here tonight, so that tomorrow, when you go to your school, kids, when you go to work, whatever you do, I'm going to go on an airplane in the morning, Lord willing. And when I go on that plane, I want to be able to go with that authority, the Lord is with me. Now, how does that affect us? I guess if I go with that authority, I shouldn't complain if a lady sits next to me with a crying baby. And I trust the Lord won't make me eat what I preach, but That could happen. And it may mean that something doesn't go right tomorrow. But do you look at everything that happens that maybe the Lord has a purpose in it? I think we should start to look at that more. When everything goes perfect, why, it almost becomes like Hawaii. It's too nice, you know. You need a little suffering. You need a little rain. Ice and snow. Such a beautiful day yesterday, and the Lord thought we need a little change. Now, I won't ask you how many complained about it, because I did that already, so you don't have to. But don't we seem to take the way life goes, and we don't take it that we're in God's hands? And I wish the Lord would, while He is helping me in this, I don't know how old we have to get before we stop our fretting over situations, but I'm getting older and I still fret about situations when they don't go my way. And I get uptight and I get nervous and I think, oh boy, I'm going to miss this and I'm going to miss that. I think if we can take the glimpse that we have of our Savior, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and we go with those words, the I am is with me, I think it'll help us to be a little more tolerant, a little more patient, understanding. And it'll help us to realize that the path where He's taking us is ordained, and the path that God wants us to go that day so that we might serve Him faithfully there. So all I'm asking tonight is take a glimpse of the splendor of this blessed God who said, I am, I am, I am. And we can walk through the door with Him, whatever the situation. And we can find He's there by our side, faithful to the very end, for soon He's going to call us home. And I trust that I can do this, and I trust that you can do this, because we have a great God to serve. Don't be discouraged. Don't be down. But lift your head and thank Him for who He is. And just remember, He said, Lo, I am with you, whatever the situation in life. And God help us to serve Him with that desire, that fervor. And may we do our service with joy. And may we do it with praise and thanksgiving to Him, for we serve the best of masters. Shall we pray? I'd just like to ask again if there is someone here tonight who is troubled about his soul. I would love to spend a few moments, or one of the others, one of the men or the elders, some lady that you're maybe with, would be very happy to spend a few moments to tell you about Jesus Christ. Maybe try to explain it a little better, if need be. But it has to come from you. So if God is speaking to you in any way tonight about your soul, where you're going to spend eternity, would you turn to Him? Trust Him tonight. Let us know about it. We'd be very happy to hear that. You came to know the Savior tonight. Father, thank You for just letting us look through the window a little bit. It's such a joy to think that the Creator of the universe, we read of Him upholding all things by the word of his power in John's gospel. We read about him as being the one who loves us so very, very much. And to think that he included us in his whole eternal plan, that just is beyond our comprehension. But we thank you that you reached down and extended your love in the person of Jesus Christ and said, I love you. You made it personal and you reached out and plucked us and brought us in to your fold. And we're sheltered in the person of Christ. Thank you for this. And if there be one here tonight not knowing our Savior, may your Spirit this evening just speak with that one tenderly. Tell the lady, the man, the boy, the girl, just that God loves them. And may they respond to trust the Savior tonight. Thank you for these people. Thank you for the Christians here at Blaisdell and their faithfulness through the years in so many ways. Bless each one of them. And as each one leaves tonight, give a special blessing to each one just being here. And may they just share the good news of this blessed I am tomorrow, wherever each one goes. For we pray in his precious name. Amen.